I dream of a city called glory. So bright and so fair. When I entered the gates, I cried, "Holy, the angels all met me there." They then I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, "Oh, to the Son of God."
The seven sealed book that God wrote and the cross. The seven sealed book, Revelation 5, and the cross of Jesus Christ. You don't want to miss this. It is exciting beyond measure. Make sure you tune in and tell a friend. It's going to be exciting.
Of that city, my loved ones all knew me well. They took me down the streets of heaven.
You know, when you get into the book of Revelation, you are in an exciting area of the Holy Bible. I love this great old book of 22 chapters, the last revelation of God in His Holy Bible. Now today, the book of Revelation, chapter 5, a seven-sealed book that God Himself wrote. Listen to me now, that God Himself wrote. You talk about making Calvary to be the grandest event of all human history. You talk about a book that makes the cross a beautiful thing. This is the book that elevates Calvary to the highest level. Because in this book, God the Father, in this story, in this book really, God the Father has in His hands a document that He wrote in His language. And nobody could look at it. Nobody could touch it. And the Bible says nobody could read it. I love that part. I had never seen that till a few weeks ago. A book that nobody could read but the Son of God, because it was written by God the Father. It is the book of the redemption of the earth, the purchase possession. The earth could not be redeemed until Jesus had died on Calvary. And now its redemption is assured and certain because God the Father brings the book forth and God the Son takes the book, steps forth and takes the book. And now the book will be opened. And we see the beginning of the opening of that book in Revelation chapter 6, a seven-sealed book that God the Father wrote in the language of the divinity, the divine language of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says very clearly that they searched through heaven to find someone. Heaven, I should say, and earth, and beneath the earth, to find someone that could open that book. Let me read it. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. I love that. Neither to look thereon. John said, "I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." Now, when you begin to understand this, it makes Calvary the grandest event of human history. Tomorrow is Palm Sunday. Tomorrow is 1 week before the resurrection. I believe Jesus was crucified on Wednesday. Wednesday, late evening, he died. And Saturday, our Saturday, their Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath, late Saturday, after sundown, he arose. He arose. And so we celebrated on the Lord's Day, on our Lord's Day, the day in which the resurrection. You see, the Sabbath in the Bible, the Sabbath begins at sundown on Saturday. Did you know that? The Sabbath begins at sundown on Saturday, ends at sundown on our Sunday. Well, it's a glorious truth, and it's a blessed truth. And today, we're going to just see how absolutely imperative the cross of Jesus Christ was. Calvary was not some accident, friend. Calvary was a divine event of the order of God, and nothing we'll ever know will match the beauty and the majesty of this event. Now, this is going to be a great day as we take answers and questions from internet and from the telephone. Let me tell you what our numbers are and how you can be a part of this broadcast, okay? Please quickly take down the number 704-391-0588 and 1-800-338-7884. Now that's 1-800-33-TRUTH. You're not going to get anything if we can help it but the truth from this broadcast. We are here to make known to the world now the glorious truth of the Holy Bible. We've been on this broadcast. This is our 41st year. We've been broadcasting by internet now for something like 10 or 15 years, and I've got to document that. I never really thought about writing down the day and the year we started on internet, but I know it's really been now a wonderful time, a wonderful experience. And so you grab your phone. We want to hear from you. You are important to us. You are very important to us. So let us hear from you. Our phone number, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Email jrc@paulcreek.org. That's jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, it's always a delight to bring you Open Bible Dialogue. As I said, 41 years, and we celebrate a grand event next Saturday, the Lord willing. Notice I said the Lord willing. We should be on camera next Saturday on your computer, on the internet. Next Saturday on the internet, we're going to celebrate 41 years. We're not really at, we in the 41st year, but we're going to celebrate going on the camera so that all over the world we can look one another in the face. And I will have the capacity to even bring you in on the program. We won't talk about that for a while. We're going to wait on that. I promise you, we're going to wait on that. But there, we do have two cameras that will be here in the my studio, and so we can have a guest and put that guest on camera. Well, it's going to be outstanding. We start now 1 week from today. I want you to hear that. I want you to announce that to every friend you got. I want you to call everybody you know that might will listen and look on the internet. Now, if you listen by radio, of course, you will not be able to see us on camera, but you can set your computer and cut it on also, and you can listen by radio and watch by computer. How about that? How about that? I like that. So you get your computer ready. Some of you don't even have a computer, and I don't blame you, but you're going to have to get you one because, you know, radio is kind of, you never know. They may have a ball game or something happens and you don't get to hear us. But if you got your computer, you can hear us then on the computer when you can't hear us on radio. I'm not trying to put down radio. We really have a lot of people that listen to us by radio. We've made a mark in Charlotte. Where was I this week when somebody recognized my voice and said, I know you. You're on the radio. Yes. Another place I went, I used to watch you when you was on the local television access station. Well, we love being a part of our community, and we love our friends everywhere they are, and we're just grateful. Now, let's get back to the program. Cross. The cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. Have you thought lately how the cross is so central to this whole gospel message? Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Save in the cross. The death of Jesus on the cross is the central point of human history. 4,000 years before Calvary, 2,000 years since Calvary, and soon, very soon, the coming of the Lord for the rapture of the church, and then this grand event in the heavens. Now, get your telephone ready, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. That's our local number. Our local number. I hope you'll use that. And then remember the email, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Will you grab your phone and call us? I really do want to hear from you. I want to make it a wonderful, exciting broadcast. Very much an exciting broadcast, okay? So you get right on the phone. And let me give you what I'm going to give you as my gift today. This is important to me. I really do love this particular one. I was so blessed. I was so blessed by it. And I want you to be blessed. You are very important to us. And here is the gift for today. Death to the flesh is joy unspeakable. Now, this is a CD that I'm going to send you, and I'll send you the little P&A with it. Death to the flesh is joy unspeakable. Now, I preached that last Sunday morning on CD. It's also on DVD. If you want the visible part, you will need to give a donation for. But we'll give you the CD and send it to you this week. It's already ready. All we got to do is make copies for you, depending on the number who called today for the free gift. Death to the flesh is joy unspeakable. You know what death to the flesh actually means? Old-fashioned Bible sanctification. You see, God didn't just save you so that he could keep you out of an eternal place called hell and the lake of fire. But God saved you to make you in the nature, in the image of himself. He called to lead you and to provide for you and in you a righteousness that would make him real to the world where you live. He wants men and women to look at you and see him because of your clean and pure and holy life. He wants you to look like a Christian. He wants you to act like a Christian. He wants you to live like a Christian. So it's a joy for me to give you that CD. Death to the flesh is joy unspeakable. In our, you say, hey, I don't want that. Well, if you don't want to live a clean, godly life, you need to get saved. You need to be born again. When you're born again, you want to live right. When you're born again, you want to be something beside the wicked person you were before you were converted. The Bible, Paul speaking, makes it plain, very plain, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17. And you need it. You really do. Now, call quickly. Want to hear from you. You are very, very important. So grab your phone, grab your mouse, 1-800-338-7884-704-391-0588. And then JRC at paulcreek.org. We've got a lot of people that hear us by internet. So get involved with us today. Ask a question that will help you understand this seven sealed book that God wrote in the book of Revelation. It is seen so beautifully, chapter 5. You see, this is the purchased possession. This is the record of the redemption of this earth that Jesus died to redeem. And the reason only Jesus could come to the Father and take that book and read that book and understand that book and then translate that book and interpret it to us by visions to John is because it was written in the language of God. It was written in the language of God. Now you say, I've never heard this before. Well, that gives you a good reason to email or call and ask a question about it. Let's understand Calvary. Let's understand the cross. Let's know the full extent of the cross. Jesus died to redeem this world. He died to redeem this entire universe. He died to put Satan on his cushion and to bring him to judgment and to cast him into the bottomless pit and then to cast him into the lake of fire. Jesus earned the right to judge the devil. He earned the right to judge every fallen angel. He earned the right to redeem this whole cosmos. He earned the right to turn this into a Garden of Eden. Do you understand that? That's what Calvary is all about, my friend. It is absolutely the redemption of everything that the Satan brought such judgment to. It is the absolute redemption of everything. Everything that man has lost, everything that has been debased, everything that has been reduced to a wilderness, every dark thing that's happened to this universe, everything that's happened to human life, every sorrow that has come to mankind, every disease that is out there to destroy, I'm promising you by the cross, Jesus has redeemed it. Jesus has turned it on its head. Jesus has paid the price to make this earth a place of heaven. A place of heaven, a new heaven, and a new earth. Now, to me, that's just breathtaking. Maybe to you, that doesn't mean a lot. But to me, it is absolutely breathtaking. I want to make it breathtaking to you. I want to make you so excited about the cross, so excited about Jesus dying for your redemption and for the redemption of this universe. I want to make you so excited that when you get to church tomorrow, you'll throw your hands up and you'll begin to worship him who died on the tree for you. I want it to become special. I really want it to become special. Now, your calls are waiting. Grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884-704-391-0588. Email jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, you talk about a book that makes the cross a beautiful thing. It's that seven sealed book that God the Father had in his hand, and God the Son alone was able to take it and to look upon it and to read it. That is indeed a beautiful sight. The entire universe is steeped in rot and degradation. The entire universe is an absolute, absolute moral mess. That's the reason we have the killing of unborn children. That's the reason we have same-sex marriage growing like a weed. That's the reason the politicians have literally compromised everything of moral value. That's the reason in our communities we have such carnage and such sorrow and such you know, evil happening everywhere around us. That's why we have to lock our doors and put a security system on our houses and our businesses, my friend. It's because of the darkness of sin, the wickedness of sin. Well, the cross is the answer for all of that. The cross is the answer for all of that. The entire universe steeped in rot and degradation, and it must be reclaimed. It must be purified by divine redemption. And John saw this title deed to the earth that the Father had in his hand, this book that God had wrote, and Jesus Christ now had come by the grace of God. Oh, what a picture. I mean, do you understand the beauty of this and the glory of this? And my friend, all of it is by the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ is the answer, and it is the only answer. And if you do not believe and glory in the cross, then something is wrong with your faith. Every preacher that gets in the pulpit must continuously preach the cross. The whole Bible really has the cross message somewhere in it. If you'll just search for it, many preachers today preach the stories of the Bible and never preach the cross that is the heart of those stories, the heart of every truth in the Bible, every man that's ever been redeemed. When David became a man after God's own heart, when Abraham became the father of faith, all of this was because the future power of the cross. The cross will lay in the future of Abraham, the future of Isaac and Jacob, the future of all the patriarchs, the future of David and Solomon and all the great writers, all the prophets, both of the major prophets and the minor prophets. All of them were redeemed by the cross, my friend, by the cross, by the cross. Well, I hope that gets a hold of you and grips your heart. Now, we live in a day when postmillennialism and dominion theology has become big, big doctrines. I call it Humpty Dumpty doctrines, Humpty Dumpty theology. It forgets all the value of the cross of redeeming this world. You can't redeem this world. Jesus Christ is going to redeem this world. He alone can redeem this world. Do you understand that? He alone can redeem this cross. You on the air? May I help you, please?
Yes, Reverend Chambers. Listen to your show. I'd like to correct one thing you said, and I'm sure you know it. You just made a mistake.
All right. What did I say?
You said the Sabbath day started on a Saturday at sundown and went to Sunday at sundown. It starts on Friday night at sundown and goes to Saturday.
That's the Jewish Sabbath. Our Sabbath starts on Saturday and goes to Sunday.
Well, I thought you were talking about when you said that about the original.
No, the Jewish Sabbath is from 6 on Friday to 6 on Saturday. Our Sabbath, the Christian Sabbath, is from 6 on Saturday to 6 on Sunday, or about 6, sundown.
Yes, sir, I agree with you exactly. You know, you're talking about the Christ redeeming, that not only do we fall in, like you said, this world is under a curse. And even the animal kingdom is under a curse.
I just said that a while ago. The entire universe is steeped in rot and degradation. The entire universe is steeped in rot and degradation. And the only thing that can redeem that is the cross of Calvary. And so often we worship Jesus because he saved us by his shed blood. And that's wonderful. We should do that, and we should do it more than ever, really. But he didn't only save us by his blood, he redeemed this whole universe by his blood.
Yes. You know, Reverend Chambers, I love hamburger and steak and pork chops, but I'll be glad, really, when we don't have to, nothing has to die so we can eat anything.
Well, That day's coming, brother. That day's coming. These old bodies that are now, steeped in the Adamic nature, and death is at work in every one of us, and we have to have a good diet to keep this body alive. But the day will come when it's glorified. It'll be like His glorified body. You'll look like you look, and I'll look like I look. But we'll be redeemed, and we'll be able to move with the glory of Christ and the glory of the angels. So that day is on the way. And what I'm trying to say today by this broadcast is God the Father wrote this book that nobody could look on or read beside the Son. And most people never thought about the fact that God actually wrote that book. That was God's book. That was God's language. The language in it was what we call unknown tongues, that many people who are full of the Holy Ghost will at times speak in those tongues. There's times when I speak in them. The Bible said any man that speaks in unknown tongues, no man can understand him. Only God can understand him. That's in 1 Corinthians 14:2. That's the language this book of seven seals was written in.
You know, Reverend Chambers, people's all worried about talking about it, deceiving this global warming. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that the world that's now is being reserved, in other words, being kept in the God until the judgment, and He'll destroy it by fire. So, it's just another lie like evolution.
But you know what? I believe that the environmentalists see a world that is in great jeopardy. They see everything coming apart, and they think they have the answer, and that's the lie. The lie is they don't have the answer to redeeming this earth. Only the cross has the answer to redeeming this earth. And there's nothing the environmentalists understand less than they understand the cross. They don't know that the cross has redeemed this earth and that it's all written in this book that was in the Father's hand and that Jesus took from Him in chapter 5 of Revelation. In fact, most of the church don't understand that. And that's why I'm talking about it today, trying to open up the church's mind to understand how glorious the book of Revelation is.
Well, I think most people in this country and even the church world is what the Bible says. They are willfully ignorant.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They're willfully ignorant. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
God bless you. Now, I pray that all over my audience out there that you will give us a call and be on this program with me today. And let's hear your questions, okay? Let's hear your questions, and let's see if we understand all the real glory of the cross. I mean, I want you to understand all the glory of the cross. It's exciting. Now, here's a question from Internet. The Internet's wide open, jrc@paulcreek.org, jrc@paulcreek.org. So grab your phone or grab your mouse for the Internet, of course, and your phone, and give me a call. Some preachers are talking about blood moons. They say we will have more this year than in centuries. What is a blood moon, and is it an end time sign? Well, I believe everything that happens up in the heavens has some end time reflections. And I think that there's something to probably the idea of the blood moons. I've not researched it. When I see preachers get all hypey about something and it becomes almost their main conversation, I usually back off from it. Because preachers have a way of making something, hypey and hyping up and selling books and selling all kinds of things because of the hype that they create around an idea. And I've always stayed away from that. I just don't do it. Now, am I saying I don't believe that there's some evidence and some possibility? No, I'm not. I think there is some possibility of connections. I'm willing to admit that, and I will do some research on it. I guess I should have already, but I'm so involved in the things I'm studying, just like what I'm talking about today. When you talk about Revelation 5, and you see the Father with this seven-sealed book, that only Christ, the Lamb of God, notice what He's called here. You see, in His earthly life, He was a man, but He was still the Son of God. In this book of Revelation, during the seven-year tribulation period, he is the Lamb of God, but he's still Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, who is, who was, and who is to come. I mean, everything about him is glorious. But all through Revelation, the 7 years of the tribulation period, he is called the Lamb of God. About 21 or 23 times, I've studied that recently and counted them, but I forgot. But it's either 21 or 23 times in the book of Revelation during the seven-year tribulation period, he is called the Lamb of God because he's the Redeemer. He is redeeming by his death. He is redeeming by his death. So the blood moons has some evidence, but let's don't make it the full message, the full concern. I think that's what's very important. Dear Pastor, what do you think the problem Putin is causing is the beginning of an incursion into Israel? What do you think is what he asked. But he wants to know, what do we think? Is what Putin, Russia, is doing concerning the Ukraine and concerning all the activity up there, does it have anything to do with the coming war of Gog and Magog? Absolutely. Everything from Russia, Ukraine, all the way down to Syria, everything in between is all a preparation. Iran, all the nations that hate Israel with a silver passion, all of that has to do with the coming of this war of Gog and Magog. Does that war occur before the rapture or after the rapture? And I always say one or the other. Now, that's a good way to answer and kind of keep myself out of the controversy of it. Well, nobody knows. It'll either be before the rapture or it will be after the rapture. It is going to occur. Coming to this great truth over 30 years ago has changed all of my life. Jesus and his work on the cross paid it all. I love him. Hallelujah. I love him. Isn't that beautiful? That's an email. I love to get them. Thank you very much, Elaine. You know, these questions and concern that we have on a day like this are breathtaking to me. I wish every one of you would get in your Bible and get beyond the surface of the Bible. So many people have only lived in the baby theology, the good basic doctrines. I'm for every one of them, but where is the meat of the word in the lives of most Christians? I'm afraid it's missing. I really am. Most Christians don't want any meat of the word because it takes effort. It takes devotion. It takes consecration. It takes giving up your love for the flesh and the worldly life. It takes moving into the realm of spiritual things if you want to dig in and learn the deep things of the Bible. Now, everybody out there, how many of you have ever read before and ever remember seeing in this great message of Revelation 5, the Father has a seven-sealed book in his hand. There's an effort made to find someone to open that book. And because nobody was found, the Bible says that John began to weep. John literally began to weep. Now, that's an overwhelming picture. Let me read it. And I wept much. This is John the Revelator, the great John the Revelator. I mean, you talk about a man of great stature in the church. And yet, he knew about this purchase possession idea. It was part of the Old Testament theology. But they had never applied it to what had to do with the redemption of the earth. I think there was some understanding. I'm sure maybe Noah even understood it. Maybe Abraham and maybe David understood it. But I do know that this revelation to John makes that truth so powerful and so beautiful. And John says, I wept. He couldn't handle it because nobody could take that book. But he knew that book was there was no redemption of the earth if somebody couldn't open that book. The earth was going to continue in its rot until it totally disintegrated if somebody couldn't open that book. The earth had to be redeemed. The universe had to be redeemed. And the Father had the purchased possession. He had the title deed all signed and sealed and ready to be delivered. And all Jesus then had to step forward, take the book, and open the seals. And then we see all that happened in Revelation 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. And then it all begins to come to finality in chapter 19 and 20. And so the picture is breathtaking. If you could understand that, the book of Revelation would come alive to you. Everybody out there ought to have a copy of my book on Revelation called The Masterpiece. Now, my book's not the masterpiece. It's the Bible, the book of Revelation, that is the masterpiece. Understand? I want you to make sure you know. I'm not talking about my book being a masterpiece. I think it's a good book, and I'm 100% for it. But I'm literally talking about the book of Revelation itself is the masterpiece, and it's the great book. Now, send your question. 1-800-338-7884. You have to call that one, not send it. Okay? 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. And then, of course, email jrc@paulcreek.org. Grab your phone. Great. jrc@paulcreek.org. Very, very important. Let's go here to another message, question on the internet. Heard that Benny Hinn is talking about Blood Moon and selling a book about it. Please share the extreme danger of Benny Hinn's anything he writes. I'm telling you that Benny Hinn has proven himself to be a very questionable character. The stuff he has done. I have a video, it's a DVD now, on Benny Hinn. And if you've ever got a DVD that could save you from the sorrow of following these false men, this one would be excellent. Benny Hinn. So you can call and order it right here on the program, okay? It's available, DVD. We have 11 in the False Anointing series. If you don't know about them, if you'll call and tell the ladies to send you a flyer announcing and helping you understand, of course, you can go on the internet and find it all. But you can call here, 1-800-338-7884. If you're calling from another country, you need to dial the codes out of your country and into America, and then 704-391-0588. And you really ought to get that. Benny Hinn, the things he teaches, the doctrines in his vocabulary, in his Humpty Dumpty teachings, is amazing to me. But worse than that is the deception, the born again Jesus, and just so many bad things. So I hope you will teach yourself. See, he teaches. He opposes the finished work of the cross. Understand, he opposes the finished work of the cross to Benny Hinn and most of the TBN crowd, not all of them, but most of them, just many, many of the big name preachers out there in the charismatic world. They believe in dominion theology, not all of them, again I say, and I can't keep up with what every one of them believes. But the bad thing is those who teach a born-again Jesus, that Jesus didn't really redeem us on the cross. He had to go into hell and redeem us out of hell, that he had to be born again in hell, to teach that the Son of God had to be born again in hell. What a blasphemy against the cross and against the redemption of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, Kenneth Copeland both teach that terrible doctrine. I mean, I have Kenneth Hagin say his death on the cross can't redeem you. I have Kenneth Copeland saying if he would have known the Bible as good as Jesus, he could have redeemed us himself by going to hell and being born again. I mean, terrible stuff. Hey, you on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, I was having a question about the role of women in churches. Because it seemed like, to me, I always thought that if God had called them to be leaders, then we would see examples in the Bible, but I don't see that.
You know, I don't want to make that a big subject because it'll take over this great subject of the cross today. I believe a woman can do in the church anything she does under male authority. If she's not under authority to her husband, or she's not under authority to the pastor, and not doing what she does in and under that authority, it doesn't matter what she does, she's out of order if she's not under authority. But if she's under authority and the pastor asks her to speak on a given night, there's nothing wrong with her speaking. Women can prophesy. Go to Acts chapter 2. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, the Bible said.
Yeah.
So you can't eliminate that. It's all a matter of authority in the church. And every man's got to be under authority. A man who's not under authority to some person of stature and of spiritual strength, he's dangerous. He's not only dangerous to you, he's dangerous to himself. I remember telling Tex Mars, a man that I loved years ago, still love him, but he's so far off base now, it's pitiful. And I remember telling him, Tex, you need a pastor. You need somebody you under authority to. You need somebody who will check your theology and keep you going the right direction. I'll never forget telling him how serious it was that he was like a lone ranger out there. We all must be under authority. Does that help you?
Yes, but that's so then can a woman then be a pastor?
I won't go any further, but just what I told you. A woman can do anything that needs to be done when she does it under authority, okay? To her pastor, her husband, the right person who gives her the authority to do this. And I won't go any further because I don't want to make that the conversation today, okay? Thank you so much for calling. Hey, would you hang on? Let me give you the gift for today.
Okay.
I would love to give it to you, okay? Ladies, grab line one there and send that dear man the gift of today. This is a CD I'm giving today entitled Death to the Flesh. Listen to me now. Death to the Flesh is joy unspeakable. Well, I'm telling you, that is a good message. I preached it last Sunday morning. It was anointed by the Spirit, and it would be great for your life. And if you'll call, we'll send it to you free right now. Right now. Well, tomorrow, Monday. I'm sorry. Saying right now. Probably Tuesday when you get it. When it goes out of here, probably Tuesday. We want to be a blessing, okay? We want to be a blessing. And thank you, Elaine, for mentioning Benny Hinn and that he opposes the finished work of the cross. I hadn't mentioned that till I saw you had brought it up. Very important. Now, can you explain? This is another. Can you explain the 3 days how Jesus arose on Resurrection Sunday, named also Easter, which is named after the god of Ishtar? Well, Jesus was crucified on Wednesday and died at sundown, there close, on sundown late Wednesday. He arose then on after sundown on Saturday. The Jewish Sabbath, which was Saturday. To us, it's the day before our Christian Sabbath. The Jews had a Sabbath in the Old Testament covenant. We have a Sabbath in the New Testament covenant. Everything, Jesus arose on the first day of the week. The Holy Ghost came on the first day of the week. He said to the church, bring your tithes to the house of God on the first day of the week. All you got to do is study the book of Acts, and you'll see the first day of the week was their day of worship. And by the way, I have a booklet on that. Very good. What is that? How's I name that? But well, anyhow, you ask for it, you'll get it. The book about the Christian Sabbath, the keeping of the first day of the week as our day. The sad thing is not that most Christians don't know that Sunday is the first day of the week and it's their Christian Sabbath. The sad thing is they don't keep it. Holy. They, you know, John was in the Spirit on the Sabbath day, and most people today are in Walmart or in a ball stadium or somewhere like that on the Sabbath day. To me, that is absolute a sin. Absolute a sin. You keep the Sabbath holy. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath. That's the fourth commandment. Don't you understand that? The fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Well, I'm trying my best to bring you the message of the cross. I get off a little bit here trying to help everybody. I want to be a blessing, and I want you to ask whatever is on your heart, and I will do my best, really do my best to be a blessing and to answer your question. And remember now, we celebrate next Saturday going on camera. going on camera worldwide, all over this country. I've got to learn to look where that camera is going to be, because I'm going to be sitting here staring at you. But I'm busy. You know, I'm doing a radio program, and you'll see me on the phone because, you know, I don't pick up the phone. We answer it by just simply mashing a button, and it feeds right into the system. You'll see me watching the internet to read the messages that are coming in. Got to watch the phone so I know when there's a call for me. You know, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be busy for me, but I'll get used to it. I may be nervous the first day or two. Well, probably not. Well, maybe we'll. I don't know. Whichever. We'll find out next Saturday, won't we? If it all comes through. Hey, and again, by faith, I'm saying next Saturday. The people are coming Monday, a new computer, new monitor, new, of course, two cameras, all kinds of things. They said to me they're getting all the whistles and the bells. I presume that's all the things that will make it a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful visible program for the world to see. Hey, and I believe we're going to touch more people than we ever imagined. Talking about the cross. In fact, I'm going to stay on Revelation for a few weeks because this book is so exciting that I love to teach on the book of Revelation. You know what? I got sick about 12:45 today, 12:45 when I came on the air. I got so dizzy sitting here in my chair and shaking, and it vanished. Thank the Lord. He takes care of me. I have this inner ear problem sometimes, and I get dizzy. Occasionally, I've got that way in the pulpit. Somebody has to come help me sit down. Well, that's okay. A 78-year-old man works hard, you know, and sometimes I need to take a week and just go off somewhere and do nothing. Hey, anybody got a place somewhere that's a really good hideaway that I could use for a week and take my little wife? I might just do that if you got a place. I don't have a place. We always paid all our money to keep us on radio and for the missions work. Hey, our missionary brother, wonderful family. Oh, I tell you what, I love our missionary in Haiti doing the work at the Home for Children. Brother and Sister Lloyd. They are two of the most wonderful missionaries on the face of this earth. I believe that. And they'll be with us the last Wednesday night of this month. That is, by the way, the 30th. The 30th of this month, April the 30th, the Lloyds will be here on Wednesday night, and we'll get a look at missions in Haiti, how many children we've now got, how many children they're teaching with a five-day-a-week education program, something close to 1,000. You will be amazed, and you will love what those people are doing. You really will. Now, we're talking about the cross today. Let me make sure I don't miss a call when I have one waiting on me. This new system is not as easy for me to get as the old one. Uh-oh, that's not ready. They're still on it. I'm sorry for that, but you know, that's how it is. I got to have some brighter lights for my telephone. The lights on my telephone are not bright enough for these 78-year-old eyes to see when they're waiting on me. And so I have to look kind of tight, and you'll see that when I got a camera here on me. But I like that. You say, Brother Chambers, you're going to look like a busy man sitting there. Well, don't you want a busy man to respect as a man of the Scripture and a man of the Bible? I'm so sick and tired of dudes for preachers. They don't know how to dress. They don't even wear socks and shoes. They go to the pulpit with their shorts on. I'll tell you something. It's a shame when men of the cloth become men of the world. And that's exactly what has happened. And it's a shame and a disgrace. And those poor guys are going to answer to God. I promise you that. They are going to answer to God. Now, let me tell you that if you want to get on our internet and get an announcement of these programs and then be able to send it to everybody you know, all you got to do, why is my nose, my ears acting up here? All you got to do is send us your email, and we will do our best, and we will take care of you. I promise. We will take care of you. We care about you. You're important to us, and we're here to be a blessing to you. So send us your email. You can put it on yourself if you'll just go to the website, paulcreek.org. You can put a www.paulcreek, but you don't have to. Just paulcreek.org. We're all over the world. We're known on in every country, I guess. I think I've been invited to every country to go and be a speaker. I don't have time to do that. Plus, I wouldn't be able to take my wife with me because she's so busy here with the ministry. We have a great Christian school, really great. We've got 4 new students to start on Monday. And if you don't have your children in Christian school, you better start thinking about it, friend. You better understand what's happening in the public sector. You must understand how God has become the enemy to public education. He's become the enemy to the court systems. He's become the enemy to the politicians. Most of them want God out of the picture. They want to be in charge, you know. They don't want God in charge of nothing. Well, they'll answer for all that mess, and it won't be long. Now, grab your phone. I'm here waiting on you. I really am. I'm here waiting on you. We are so excited about the live radio broadcast next Saturday. We're looking forward to seeing you as you do Open Bible Dialogue. Love, Brian, Jessica, and Emma. And by the way, the Lord healed Emma yesterday. She was sick, and they called for prayer. And, of course, God answers prayer. How many knew that? Hey, let me tell everybody something. Listen to me carefully now. We now have a prayer line in our telephone system. We have a prayer line in our telephone system. Are you listening to me? And I will keep fresh prayers on that line so you can call 24 hours, 24/7. You can call and get right into the line and be a part of a prayer time. And I do pray for and get myself ready so that it's anointed by the Holy Ghost. And I promise you, I can't get it all done anymore. I can't even, you know, get all the prayers prayed with people who call. It's a biggie. It really is. And I love every minute of it. I mean, I love it. I've even this morning been calling, praying with people that I knew had special needs of prayer. God answers prayer. But you can call at night when you call the phone system. Of course, you get a voicemail, and then you listen a minute, and all you got to do is punch 1. Once you get on the line, you punch 1, and we'll take you directly to our prayer line. That's the first thing you can go to. And then, of course, we have other things that you can learn about on the prayer line at night. And then during the day, you call. If the secretary answers, then you just say, please, may I have the prayer line? And they'll put you right into the prayer line. And if you, after the prayer's over, if you want further prayer, you can go to my line, which is 101, and I will call you, leave your phone number. I will call you and pray with you personally. That's how devoted we are to this whole business of blessing you. Now, that's available all over the world. Wherever you live, get your code out of your country and the code into America. I can't keep up what those codes are. Every country is different, of course. You just dial right in, and once you get in America, all you got to find from your country is your code out and your code in into America. And then you dial 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And if you need that, you send me an email, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. I get emails from Australia, from countries all over this world. And so your email will be treated special, and we will show you we care about you, and we will do our best to help you find the right way to walk with God. I'm telling you, it's never been such a need to walk with God. Now, let me tell you the name of the free gift again. It's a CD, Death to the Flesh is Joy Unspeakable. How many out there would like to have joy unspeakable? I mean, unspeakable. It says joy unspeakable and full of glory is what the Bible says. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Would you like to have that? Well, let me tell you how you can find it. You go to Calvary, and you repent of your sins, and you turn from your sins. Then you don't just quit praying because you repented and you've turned from your sins. You keep digging in. You get into this Bible, and you grow in the Lord. You grow up in the Lord, and you ask God to sanctify you and put that old nature of Adam, put him to death. He'll still be in there, and he'll still fight to get out. He'll still fight for resurrection. But Adam is your enemy. And when you carry your life around in the flesh, and you do everything you do in the flesh, you're going to be a sad character, because your flesh is a burden. And that's what this sermon shows you, that your flesh is a burden. But if you pray and get sanctified and set apart and full of the grace of God, Romans 8:11 says, if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. What a life this is, I'm telling you. Now, John was weeping. His soul was rended with the sense of nobody being able to open this seven-sealed book. And now we understand how important it was that John would weep over it. But then we understand, one of the elders said unto him, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed through the cross to open the book and to loose the seals thereof." Isn't that beautiful? When the Son of God, takes that book, you know one thing, friend, we're coming down to the end. We're coming down to the end. The purchase possession. How wonderful indeed it is. We are so excited about the radio broadcast. I read that a while ago. There are so many people who work in and help the Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland ministries and all the other false preachers. And these people from Fort Worth, Texas, you live among some of them, don't you? Will those people help and bring the ministries be in the same place in hell as the false prophets? Well, I don't know that there's departments in hell. There's certainly the bottomless pit, which would be the darkest place. But yes, people who are involved in Benny Hinn and those ministries and follow that doctrine, you say, are any of them saved? I can't answer that. But I would say most of them are not, maybe all of them. Because if you were born again and you were full of God's sweet Spirit, He would show you what's right and wrong about what I can't get away with nothing. Why would you be able to get away with things that are questionable, that are not pure? I don't think anybody can. You gotta live in this Bible. If you follow those preachers who preach a born-again Jesus, that doctrine will not save a living soul. A born-again Jesus that didn't redeem you by the blood on the cross is not a Savior. He is not a Redeemer. And those people cannot be saved and cannot be redeemed. I had one of them to come to my office one time, trying his best to teach me the born-again Jesus. And I said, "No way. I don't even want to hear it." And then they said, "Well, let's go pray together." I said, "No way. I ain't praying with you. I ain't taking you in the sanctuary and letting you bow beside me and pray when you have a bad spirit, a wrong doctrine. No way. No way. That is foul doctrine. And they are everywhere." See, that's all, again, has to do with the cross. The blood of Jesus was shed to save you. When He said, "It is finished," I'm here to tell you, it is finished. It was finished. You don't need anything in addition to "it is finished." Now, I'm preaching tomorrow, and I meant to announce that earlier, and I don't know why I didn't, but I'm preaching tomorrow. Very, very important. I want you to hear this. The cross, and the adoption of His saints. The cross of Jesus Christ and the adoption, that word adoption, of His saints. That word adoption means we were not His children, but He made us His children. Like a child that's adopted. I never forget hearing about the little girl that the kids at school were just worrying her to death, calling her an adopted kid. That's not your mommy and daddy. You're just an adopted. You don't really have a mom and dad. And one day she got tired of it and she came up with an answer, or somebody maybe helped her with it. She said, "Listen, when your family got you, they took what they got. Your mom and daddy didn't have a choice whether it was a boy or a girl, or whether you was blonde or a blackhead, or whether you had green eyes or blue eyes. But when my mom and daddy chose me, they looked at a line of children and they saw all these kids standing there and they picked me out and they said, 'That's the one we want.' And they took me by the hand and I went home with them." And that little girl had won the day because she was adopted, but she was proud of her parents that had picked her in an adoption line. Well, you are adopted. And I'm going to preach tomorrow about the cross and the adoption of His saints. The cross and the adoption of His saints. Really, extremely important. It really is. Now, we got about 7 or 8 minutes here. No, we have 5 minutes. Wow. Do you have a question about this whole business of the seven-sealed book that only Jesus could take from the Father, that only Jesus could read, remember? Only Jesus could look upon, remember? It was a divine document written by the hand of God Himself. in a language that those people, all the people of the world, would not be able to read. You couldn't read it. I couldn't read it. Only Jesus could take that document, because it had been written by the Father in the language of the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. You're talking about proving the Trinity. Man, this really helps prove the Trinity. When you realize that nobody could take that book from the Father but the Son, the Lamb of God, who had died on the cross, shed his blood. What a Savior. It shows again the beauty of the Trinity. See, in the idea of the purchased possession, in the Jewish mind of the Old Testament, the next of kin was always the person who could redeem. It had to be the next of kin. Remember the story of Ruth and I'm trying to call his name, the man that chose her because the next of kin refused and he was second. I can't say it right here, but no, it but can't say it. You know how that is. Well, this is the story we have in this little book, the next of kin. Well, there was nobody in heaven or in earth or beneath it. Why was there nobody? Because nobody else was kin to God. I'm talking about kin by blood. Well, not by blood, but kin by divine order. Jesus alone was the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. We are sons, but we're sons because the Son has redeemed us. And we receive this heirship and this adoption. We're not really part of the family until we're adopted. And that's what the cross was all about, the adoption of children. My, you ought to enjoy that sermon tomorrow. And you can come. Hey, we've been having new people every Sunday for weeks on end now. And I'm expecting new people tomorrow. There's many of you go to dead churches. Many of you go to churches that are so cold and calloused and indifferent. You go to churches that there's no spiritual life. It's pitiful when you do that. It really is. Here's a message. Thanks be to God. And to you, all of you at Paul Creek, thank you there, James. I appreciate that very much. I really do. Thanks be to God and to you, all of you at Paul Creek. I'm telling you, next Saturday, we're going to celebrate going on camera. This is my 41st year. I'm going to look at you and see, I'm going to say, hey, you haven't been helping me. We've lived on a shoestring through these years, mom and pop kind of operation. And we want God to help us to get beyond that. So it'll be a little lighter burden on me. I really need an associate pastor who's so full of the Holy Ghost that I can be away once in a while on a little, you know, sabbatical. And that's going to take some money that we just don't have. And so I'm asking now for 10 people to give $1,000. We've got two. I'm asking for 100 people to give $100. I've got several of them this week. And then for 100 people to give any gift, and I think that'll be $25,000. And some of you haven't responded yet. So this week is the week, okay? This week is the week. I want you to respond. You are very, very important to me. You are very, very important to me. I love you. I love you much. I love you much. And you know, the blessings of God are beyond measure. Do you understand that? The blessings of God are beyond measure. Nothing is so wonderful as the blessings of God. Listen. Hallelujah. I'll be right back.
My heart overflows.
Listen, 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. Remember, email jrc@paulcreek.org. I love you. Please be a partner with us. Don't forget, next Saturday, we celebrate going on the camera. We celebrate going on the camera. I love you. Jesus is coming. We're at the door. We're at the door. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus could take this book from the Father's hand and open these seals? And it won't be long, my friend, until we'll be there and watch that event occur, the sanctified life. And God's reward of joy is also in Ecclesiastes 2:26. You go read that. I won't have time. I love you. Blessings. I love you. Blessings.
It flows. Receive this anointing. I lay my glory down at your feet for thee.